Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump offering a rare criticism of Vladimir Putin, telling him on social media, Vladimir, stop, after a night of deadly drone and missile attacks that Russia launched on the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv.
Russia pounding Ukraine with missiles and drone strikes, rocking the capital Kyiv. The attack is the deadliest in the city since last summer, leaving at least 9 dead and more than 70 injured. This while President Trump is reigniting his war of words with Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. Earlier, the president criticized Ukrainian President Zelensky for not going along with a U.S. brokered peace deal that would let Russia keep all of the territory it's taken so far in the war. The International Monetary Fund warning that the ongoing Trump tariff disputes threaten the global economic outlook. Home sales slowed in March as elevated mortgage rates and rising prices discouraged buyers. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The Senate passed a bill yesterday that would expand Medicaid coverage for new moms. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The bill would give women who gave birth an entire year of coverage under Medicaid. Currently, they get it for 60 days. Moms get this year-long coverage in almost every state in the nation. The only exceptions are Arkansas and Wisconsin. And advocates say it saves lives. From 2019 to 2021, Wisconsin had a 30% increase in deaths among pregnant and postpartum women. Democrat Melissa Ratcliffe on the Senate floor.
63 moms died with pregnancy-related issues from 2020 to 2022. One-third of those deaths occurred more than 60 days postpartum.
Of the 63 women who died, 76% of them were on Medicaid at the time their babies were born. That's according to the DHS legislative director. This bill has broad bipartisan support in both the Senate and the Assembly. The Senate passed it almost unanimously yesterday, and they did the same thing in the last session. Speaker Robin Voss had previously said he doesn't support the measure because the state gives out too much free stuff. Here's what he had to say about it yesterday.
My position's been fairly clear from the very beginning. I've never supported an expansion of welfare. I can't imagine that I would ever support one. But we have to talk about it as a caucus and see where everybody else is.
The expansion would cost $18.5 million. Wisconsin currently has a surplus of more than $4.5 billion.
The vote in the state Senate was 32-1 in favor. This Friday, school administrators around the state will vote on 5 amendments for high school sports at the WIAA's annual meeting in Stevens Point. One measure would allow name, image, and likeness deals for student-athletes. Another would expand summer coaching contact days from the current limit of 5. And one measure would require any spectator ejected from a contest to have to take an online sportsmanship course and serve a 1-game suspension before being allowed back at games. The meeting is Friday at 9 a.m. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's draft day in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. From Green Bay, where the NFL draft gets underway tonight, many experts predicting the Packers could use the 23rd pick on Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden, who was spotted shaking hands with Packers GM Brian Gutekunst on the Rich Eisen Show. Has he been here before?
It's definitely my first time meeting with him. I had a meeting with him 2 weeks ago. Got around the coaching staff, you know, the organization. Feel like home to me.
Did you visit here? So this is not your first trip to Green Bay,
as a matter of fact. It's not my first trip.
Who else have you personally visited?
Met with Houston, Pittsburgh, Broncos, Detroit.
Have you personally visited with the Dallas Cowboys?
Yes, sir.
Oh! What was that about?
It was cool, man.
Baseball, the Brewers scoring 2 runs in the 9th, but it wasn't enough. They lost to the Giants 4-2 last night in San Francisco.
It's all part of getting started in a new year. We're all trying to find ourselves, find our own identity.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and rather mild today, hanging on to the heat as we reach the low 70s. Showers and some thunderstorms start to roll through overnight, bringing widespread light rain by the morning. We could be waking up to patchy fog, breezy winds, and high temperatures cooler, staying stuck to the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on, in about 15 minutes, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot will be here for a little weather and wine. Tell us what we can expect over the next couple of days. I was just outside. It is so nice out right now.
Let me guess. It's going to be rain and then sun and then rain and then sun and then locusts.
Whiplash weather coming up soon. Yes. And then we'll talk all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will be joining us after 11:30. We'll talk about the NFL draft, which is underway in Green Bay, and much, much more. Right now, though, very excited to welcome our next guest. Representative Lee Snodgrass from the 52nd is joining us. Good morning, Representative. Thanks for making time for us.
Good morning, Jane. I'm so happy to be here.
Let's talk about a new measure aimed at tightening up on, buying people's votes.
Yeah, so I was very excited to introduce a bill with Green Bay Rep, actually the 90th Assembly Rep, Ahmad Rivera-Wagner. This bill essentially kind of closes a loophole that we seem to have had that we didn't think we had to worry about, which is bribing people essentially to sign petitions during an election year. So when Elon Musk sort of changed his tune and said, I'm not paying people to vote, I'm just paying people to sign a petition, we knew we had to do something to clarify Wisconsin law so that that can't happen.
So what he did was not technically illegal.
You know, it's one of those things that skirts within the line, so to speak. He did change his language and said that he was not paying people to vote. But when you pay people to sign a petition that you then advertise as a way of collecting names to give away a huge check at a rally in support of a candidate, that seems kind of fishy to me. So we knew we needed to tighten that up.
What would this measure do, Representative Snodgrass?
Well, it would be during a campaign time, and a campaign time defined in the bill is when somebody can take out nomination signatures until the election day itself. So it would say within this campaign time, you cannot essentially incentivize somebody to sign or not sign a petition. So you think about something like, you know, what Elon Musk did, you think about a recall petition, you think those things. We wanted to make sure that we were keeping people's right to free speech, but that campaign window is very important. It also, just to clarify, it says something of value that used to be in state statute as anything more than a dollar. Mm-hmm. And then we realized, you know what, costs are going up. Some of those signs cost more than a dollar to produce. So we raised that to $5. So the bottom line is, if you cannot motivate people to come out and support your candidate on issues, on effort on what they say they're going to accomplish, and you have to do it by motivating people with money, there's already a problem.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, I think we can all agree that this last election showed handily that the people of Wisconsin aren't going to fall for something like that. And resoundingly, too, just like the last Supreme Court election, a 10-point victory says that this state wants, we want fairness. We don't want your money.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, the biggest way that to see what people are feeling is the result of the polls, right? So we knew that this was something that people would want. We've had a lot of great feedback from it. Unfortunately, as with lots of things right now in Madison, it's going to be difficult to get Republican support on it. I just saw the bill draft came into my office. Not one Republican signed on to this. So this is my plea to them. I know you can't stand bribery as well. I know from talking to some of them individually that they're pretty fed up with campaign finance, and we need to have some campaign finance reform. This is a great first step that most people should be able to agree on.
Are they just so afraid of blowback that they can't put their names on this?
I could certainly speculate, and I would say that the individuals who I would still consider pretty moderate are hesitant to speak up, because I do think there's still threats from the president of the United States to put people into situations where they're up for re-election again and they're primaried. But at some point, I really love what Tim Walz used to say, was that you don't hoard political capital, or you don't build political capital to hoard it. Mm-hmm. You build it to burn it. And if ever there was a time, you guys, I mean, the world is on fire and democracy is at risk. Let's burn that political capital and do the right thing.
This is something we talk about in the show. Every time we see a bill come out of Madison that's bipartisan, we sing the praises on the highest mountain, because it shows that the people in power can work together to move this state and its people forward. You know, whether it's expansion of Medicaid for new moms or other things we talk about, it's a bipartisan measure. Let's do it. You can take it back to your people and say, look what we did for you.
Right. Yeah, there used to be a small window last session. I felt like I had a great working relationship with Republican Rep. Scott Krug. He and I did have a lot of bipartisan bills that we worked on together on that committee. But I'm going to be honest with you, if anything, I feel the culture has shifted towards less working together this session. Mm. I feel like because we picked up 10 seats as the Democratic caucus, there's a lot of like, we'll show you, we're not going to play nice in the sandbox anymore. So while we all promised our constituents things would get better, it seems to me from personal experience that it's gotten a little worse.
Oh, great. We're all five now. That's just dandy.
Representative, one of the things that when you were on the show last a while ago, too, one of the things you talked about you were running was knocking on the doors and getting out there and meeting the people and meeting all of the people, regardless of who they vote for, and having what I think is important to have during any tenure in office is good conversations, even with those who disagree. What are you hearing from the people in your district about this measure and their support? I have to imagine there are people who probably voted for Donald Trump and be like, yeah, I don't like this either. The people, I feel like, have a different voice than maybe the politicians are voting for.
Yeah, actually, that I'm really glad you asked that, because as a relatively public figure, when I go about my day, I always run into people I know. And of course, they want to talk to me about my job. And I was at the grocery store the other day, and this gentleman stopped me and he asked me if I was who I was. I said, yes. And he's like, hey, you got that bribery bill, huh? And I said, yep. I said, what do you think about it? And he's like, well, I didn't vote for you, but I like that bill. So, I mean, it does cross over.
Yes.
Nobody likes dishonesty. Nobody likes bribery. And Wisconsin showed that. So I don't understand what the resistance is for my Republican colleagues, but I'm going to see if I can get some on board.
If you're just joining us, Representative Lee Snodgrass is here, and we're talking about a new measure aimed at shoring up state laws to prevent major political donors from just handing out checks to people who sign election-related petitions. As expected, someone on the live stream, yeah, I'll be more about this when the Democrats start condemning George Soros. It's always,
George Soros, that
poor guy, he gets late. I mean, man, the guy can't catch a break.
Bring out those greatest hits, folks.
But nobody mentions the U-lines. Nobody mentions the other major, Diane Hendrickson. Those GOP donors never come up. It's only George Soros on the left.
And to be fair,
I'd be happy to address that.
Okay, go ahead. Yes, please.
I will say 100%. I'm sick of it too. Let's talk about Citizens United. We also had the same week we introduced our bill, my colleagues in Madison were introducing a bill to repeal Citizens United. I agree with my Republican colleagues. We need to get money out of politics. If I had my way, the state would say, this is what you get for each race. And if you can't win by spending that, then you probably are not a good budgeter of money and shouldn't be in office anyway. I mean, I wish we could get to that point, honestly. And nobody needs that money.
And for clarification, and I hate saying this because it's just with Citizens United, it's just the truth of the matter. This bill seeks to get rid of the loophole.
Right.
If Diane Hendricks, George Soros, if whomever, me, wants to give hundreds of millions of dollars in legal ways of dark money, they can still do all of that. You're not making a law saying they can't. You're simply just saying this one thing where someone says, hey, sign this petition, and you might win a big golf check. That's what you're trying to get rid of. This has less to do with George Soros than it does with bribery.
Absolutely. My bill is micro-focused on this particular issue that frankly was not a problem until the last presidential election. And then we saw a repeat of that kind of tactic in the spring. Honestly, we didn't have billionaires trying to flip elections in Wisconsin until now in that particular way. So this is a micro-focused bill on that particular thing. As terms of broader finance reform, campaign finance reform, I am all open. If my Republican colleagues want to bring a bill forward on that, I'd be happy to work with them on that.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. Just, I don't know, call me skeptical. But that would be great. I would love to see the end of Citizens United. Corporations are not people, and money isn't speech. That whole thing is a mess. But again, I find it hard to believe that many Republicans are going to say, yeah, this is wrong. We shouldn't do that. Even though I do think that the election of Susan Crawford over the Elon Musk pick was pretty indicative of where Wisconsin is across all party lines. Wisconsinites banded together in rejecting Elon Musk coming in and trying to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the universality of that. People don't like cheats. And the minutia of that, when, you know, we all, none of us like cheats. Republicans talk about people cheating on public benefits. Democrats talk about people cheating by billionaires not paying their taxes. Can we just focus on the fact that we all think cheating is bad and find some pathway to doing something?
And I would even take it one step further, showing the severe nature of Wisconsin's stubbornness, if you will, is that all of the politicians, the candidates who tried to run for governor or Senate, who were millionaire, multimillionaire billionaires, saying, oh, it's my turn, it's my time, that's my job, I'd like that. We're like, no, I might not like the Democrats or the, but we're not going to take the person who just thinks they're owed the job. Wisconsinites are smarter than that. And they don't like cheats and they don't like carpetbaggers.
Yeah. Wisconsinites are workers. Yeah. Honestly, I think that's why I get a lot of across the board support. People know I'm going to work my butt off for them. I mean, I'm a regular person. I have a part-time job as a server. I work at a garden center in the spring. You know, people know that they might not agree with my positions, but I'm going to dig down and I'm going to work for them.
Representative, we've only got about a minute and a half left. I'm just curious, when you were considering running, was the issue of money something that could have stopped you from running? Because you have to raise so much cash now.
Yeah. You know, every single candidate, Republican and Democrat alike, complain about the amount of time we have to spend on the phone dialing for dollars. Mm-hmm. Just think about spending that time door to door talking to people individually. None of us really want that. Unfortunately, that's the system it's in. But now that I'm in the system and I'm on campaigns and elections, I feel there's an opportunity to change it. I just need some partners to come with me and do it.
I think you would get a whole lot of support, again, getting rid of Citizens United and having set amounts depending upon what race you are running in. Here's your money. Let's see how far you can make it go. I think that's a great idea. Yeah. Don't stop. Representative Lee Snodgrass has been our guest. Thank you so very, very much for your time, Representative. We really appreciate it.
It's so nice to join you. Thank you.
Coming up, we're going to have a little weather and wine with Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot. That is on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Voting proof of citizenship efforts are afoot in Michigan, while voters await the outcome of the Federal SAVE Act and a Trump executive order requiring similar restrictions. This despite no evidence of widespread non-citizen voting in Michigan or anywhere else in the U.S. In Michigan, a constitutional amendment which failed to achieve a two-thirds majority in the legislature just received the go-ahead to collect signatures for a citizen ballot initiative instead. If organizers meet the signature requirements, it could appear on the 2026 ballot. The Michigan proposal requires any new registering voters to show, quote, a birth certificate, passport, and/or other documents, and would eliminate the use of sworn affidavits for voters without approved IDs. Voters without citizenship documents could cast a provisional ballot, but must return with the documents within 6 days for it to count. While that may keep the 20, that's 2-0, alleged Michigan non-citizens from voting, 1 in 9 Americans don't have ready access to citizenship documents, and over 5.8 million Michigan citizens don't own a U.S. passport, according to the Center for American Progress. On the national proof of citizenship front, a federal circuit court ruling on President Donald Trump's March 25th order is expected April 24th, and the SAVE Act is in the U.S. Senate, but unlikely to overcome the filibuster. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brought on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us every Thursday at this time for a little weather and wine. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. I got to say, Brittany, right now in Racine, it's like perfect. It's perfect. It is so nice out. It's got to be about 60 degrees, blue skies. Not windy. It's just lovely. I'm assuming in 2 hours that will end.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it will feel like a punishment for having good weather in the first place.
Kiss it goodbye.
Yeah, kiss it goodbye is right. So when are things going to start to change? Because we do have weather coming in.
Yes, we sure do. So everybody wants to go to the draft, and so does a low pressure system. Go figure. It is targeting the state, and it's going to be rolling in some scattered showers by early this evening, far north and far west. But of course, the cloud cover is going to take over the rest of the day today. Still nice and warm, though, down south. Not so much up north,
is it?
Unfortunately.
No? What's it like around Green Bay?
Well, Green Bay, we're going to be in about the low 60s today, but really falling tomorrow to about 50 degrees, plus the winds are going to be breezy out of the north. It is going to be feeling like the 40s with rain ongoing tomorrow morning. It really does look to last until about the afternoon. It starts to ease, and then the last chance of scattered showers would be 5 o'clock, the latest, into the Fox Valley. So what it's doing is kind of interesting. The system's moving in, it's spreading in this rain, and it fills the entire state up first, then it goes to the Fox Valley last. So, right?
Oh, man. Just can't catch a break. Jeez.
I know. I know. So I think it means, though, like tonight, they're going to be good to go. Maybe just a few sprinkles through there. But tomorrow morning and throughout the afternoon, not the best day. It's going to be brutal, breezy, raw, puddles to jump over, all of that.
But, you know, for folks, for Wisconsinites, this is opening day. That right. That was opening day for years and years and years, yeah. When it was at County Stadium and everybody sucked that up and went to the game anyway. So I don't think for people from Wisconsin, it's not going to be pleasant.
No.
But I don't think it's going to deter a lot of people. But for out-of-towners, you get an umbrella and buy a nice sweatshirt because you're probably going to need it.
Get the Pacos at the Packers poncho. That would be perfect.
That's funny. Yeah, it's good. I don't know who said it, if it was on this show or Pat's show. They said it's going to be funny to see a lot of Vikings, Raiders, and Bears fans adorned in Green Bay theme gear because they had no choice but to buy our umbrellas, ponchos, yeah. And whatnot.
Seriously.
I love it. I can't wait. I'm glad Mother Nature did that, I guess. Because we can handle it. I mean, like you said, we're just fine.
Oh, yeah.
Also, like, I mean, it's going to provide a bit of a memory, too. There's going to be pictures. You will see pictures on social media, people getting downpoured on, like, we're at the draft and we're having a blast.
But I'm telling you, those are the stories that you tell.
Yes.
When something goes wrong. Yep. Nobody comes back from vacation and says, everything was perfect, there were no problems. Yeah. No, you come back from vacation and you talk about the time you missed the ferry and then your luggage was 3 days late. But those are the stories that you tell.
I asked about your vacation. Why are you whining about the time you had?
So true. It's so true.
Well, again, hopefully everything is going to go smoothly up there. And for tomorrow, again, just make sure you're prepared and have an umbrella and, you know, make sure you got your bundle up.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you'll be fine. And Saturday, it looks gorgeous. I mean, the sunshine comes out for the entire state. We start to warm things up. We'll be at about 60 degrees in the Fox Valley on Saturday and then into the mid-60s. On Sunday. So a gorgeous weekend, a nice ending to it all.
Now, this is going to lead some people, including myself, to want to go to the nursery and get plants. So can I get my flowers in the ground yet, or am I jumping the gun a little bit?
You might be jumping the gun just a little bit. I think the final freeze is definitely going to be in about a week or so for a lot of the state. So just hold off on those, the annuals? I think
the
perennials are just fine and they can handle this kind of weather. No big deal, but I would hold off just a little bit longer for that final freeze, but we're almost there. We're almost there.
Just about.
This is another reason to watch the live stream. If you could see Jane's face when she was asking that question, she looked like a little kid. Like, can I have my fun now? May I have my fun, please?
Well, but the one thing that always shows up first, at least what I notice around here in southeastern Wisconsin, are the pansies. They must be a little tougher.
Yeah.
Because they're always the first things out that are available for you to buy. So they're
they
just
have that name then.
Don't let the name fool you. We're here.
Right.
Try it, Mother Nature. We'll take you.
Bring it on.
We're no pansy.
Bring it on. We're not afraid. What about the fire danger? Wisconsin's still in a drought.
Yeah. So actually, a lot of this rain helped. Only 2% of Wisconsin is in a drought now, and it's very, very, very southwest. And in terms of the fire danger, it's low for the southern half and then moderate for the northern half, which is actually really good,
that's
news,
good news
for this time of year.
So you throw all the cigarettes and matches outside?
No, don't do that.
I'm just kidding.
Your lit cigarettes out the car. It drives me crazy.
All right.
Crazy.
Me too.
I didn't do
just
it.
Gotta, I'm just going to shake that off now. Because
Jane, plants, flowers. There you go. Oh.
Usa.
Cleansing breath. And after this beautiful weekend, severe weather for next week.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, we are looking at a major warm-up spiking in. I'm talking about some 70s and 80-degree temperatures, the humidity and mugginess building, and then multiple fronts pushing through, which, of course, could be sparking up severe weather. It looks like Monday and Tuesday.
We will check back in with Brittany Merlot next Thursday at this time. Thank you so much, Brittany. We will see you in a week. Enjoy the draft.
Thank you.
News is coming up next. And then Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company will be here. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Vast, statewide, countrywide. You can listen in New Zealand if you have the app.
Boom.
Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Over at City Hall, there's only a handful of committee meetings this week. On Wednesday, the Economic and Community Development Commission will consider four applications for community enhancement grants. Wednesday is also the next meeting for the City Administrator Work Group, which is in the process of creating a new position inside of city government. Later this week, the Redevelopment Authority and Commercial and Multifamily Design Review Committee will meet. A new report says Wisconsin's exports are facing uncertainty in the face of tariffs and a decade's worth of declining trade. Tyler Barnes with the Wisconsin Policy Forum said that the decline and uncertainty can be attributed to a number of factors, with tariffs playing a part.
Over the long term, we don't really know what exactly it's going to look like. I'm hesitant to make a guesstimate, but I do think there are impacts related to this uncertainty around where we're going to source goods, where we're going to sell goods, and what trade is going to look like.
Tariffs could make Wisconsin goods more expensive, which could cause buyers to look elsewhere. This Friday, school administrators around the state will vote on five amendments for high school sports at the WIAA's annual meeting in Stevens Point. One measure would allow name, image, and likeness deals for student-athletes. Another would expand summer coaching contact days from the current limit of five. And one measure would require any spectator ejected from a contest to have to take an online sportsmanship course and serve a one-game suspension before being allowed back at games. The meeting is Friday at 9 a.m. This week is Work Zone Awareness Week in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
The theme, drawing attention to safety for road construction workers, is Respect the Zone so we all get home. Work Zone Awareness Week is April 21st through the 25th. Counties and communities across the state are urging people to drive carefully and pay attention while driving through highway work zones. Over the past 5 years, more than 10,300 crashes in Wisconsin work zones caused 56 deaths and more than 3,600 injuries.
You can find more information on the Wisconsin DOT website. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There's lots of Star Wars news lately. Here's the latest. Andor makes its return for Season 2. The show returns almost 2 years after the finale of Season 1. Diego Luna plays Cassian Andor, just like he did in Rogue One. The show is crushing on Rotten Tomatoes at 98%. Season 2 will have 12 episodes. The first three episodes dropped Tuesday, April 22nd. Disney Plus will release three episodes every week on Tuesdays, totaling a four-week run. Disney Plus says this will be the final season of the popular show. In more Season 2 news, Nathan Felder is back for Season 2 of The Rehearsal. The hilariously awkward creator of the show is also the leading man as he tries to help people get better at living their own lives by rehearsing them. Things usually go very wrong, and therein lies the hilarity. Season 2 will have six episodes, just like the first season. The HBO show drops every Sunday night following The Righteous Gemstones. Happy Weird Sunday Night on Max, everyone. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and rather mild today, hanging on to the heat as we reach the low 70s. Showers and some thunderstorms start to roll through overnight, bringing widespread light rain by the morning. We could be waking up to patchy fog, breezy winds, and high temperatures cooler, staying stuck to the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me next in the guest co-host chair. We discuss Pope Francis's passing. What was this Pope's legacy? A progressive or something else?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball action this afternoon. The crew at the Giants, our broadcast starts at 2 p.m. You can listen to the game, but you have to listen on terrestrial radio. Mm-hmm. So catch the game today on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. Crew at the Giants today at 2 p.m. Joining us to talk all things sports from the Acme Packing Company, he is on the road.
Oh, boy.
Heading north to Green Bay, Paul Noonan is here. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm actually in Racine, too.
Oh, you are?
Close by.
So, but
I'm passing through at the moment. So,
but you are heading up to Green Bay, correct?
Yeah, I live in Chicago, so I'm
I didn't know that.
I'm doing the long trek from there. Yep.
What are you?
Usually when we do this every week, I'm actually from this. I'm doing it from the Sears Tower itself.
So. Oh, you mean the Willis Tower, Paul?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's what all the cool people call it.
Yeah.
So, what are you expecting when you get up to Green Bay today for the draft, Paul?
Mostly expecting a pretty big party scene. Although I have heard from people who were there yesterday that it actually doesn't seem as crowded as people expected. I actually heard a couple of the restaurants and bars killed their extended hours yesterday. So
wow.
Hoping it picks up a little bit today and it's fun. Yeah, breaking news. This is the big day. This is the first round. This is when media will descend on town. And so I think it'll be a pretty fun scene. It usually is like a really good, just if you want to go talk football and meet interesting people, it's a good scene to be around. It's a very fun loving time of year for us draft nicks.
I would also feel, and I'm just speculating here, that there may be some gambling involved.
Gambling on the draft is insane, and it varies widely from state to state. A lot of states actually do not allow bets, or at least sizable bets, to be placed on events where there's people making decisions, where somebody from a front office can run off to a book and just clean up because they know what's going to happen. That's actually happened to a few books in the past, and so gambling on the draft is a big deal. It is for sure a thing people have a lot of fun with. But it's one that actual sportsbooks have a really fraught relationship with, and it's not their favorite day of the year because there is a lot of actual truthful insider information available, if you happen to know people who work for teams, and they get killed a lot on these days.
Interesting.
I don't know why I'm surprised that people are betting on the draft. They bet on everything, but that actually makes a lot of sense. Like, just that notion of that little window of like a few minutes where someone knows
got that
exactly
one piece of info,
what's going
yeah.
on, and they can simply pick up their phone and text someone, say, put so much down on so-and-so for this. And yeah, oh, wow.
It's been a problem.
What kind of rumors are floating around as far as who's looking at who and who might get drafted and that kind of thing?
So I've got a couple on that front. And this is the time of year right before the draft starts, when a lot of front offices just lie about things to try and throw people off and throw disinformation into the air. So I'll take all of this with tons of grains of salt.
All right.
But we have heard that the Packers were at least poking around asking about Pittsburgh wide receiver George Pickens, who is in the last year of his contract, was drafted in the same draft as Christian Watson, and would fill an immediate need for them as kind of a challenge trade. Pickens is an odd fellow, I would say. Off the field problems isn't quite right, just kind of a weirdo. With Christian Watson's injury and Romeo Doubs, getting severely concussed at the end of the year, I think even if that rumor is not true and doesn't pan out, it does provide kind of a window into they're really looking at receivers and outside receivers in particular. And so I think I've said that every time I've been on here, they've had, I think, 7 receivers in for visits. If they don't get one of their guys in the actual draft, or even if they don't get that far, they're definitely poking around at wide receivers. So keep an eye on that. I don't know if that one will actually come to fruition. Trades do happen a lot on draft day, though, and Pickens is probably available. The other big one that makes my heart sing is the Bears have definitely been in contact with the Jacksonville Jaguars to move up to 5 to take Ashton Giante, the excellent running back, out of Boise State. He's a good player, and I don't want anybody coming back to me later and saying I hate that player, but trading up to draft a running back in the first round is just about the worst process you can possibly have. It would be a very Bear thing to do because the Bears famously have one of the worst draft processes you could possibly have. It would be annoying to play against that guy every year, but it would also take a lot of cap away. They don't really have not the offensive line to make that work yet. So I'm really rooting for that. All of you should be too.
I'm going to write that down. It's a very Bears thing to do. I think that can be really handy going forward.
You can't spell embarrassing without Bears.
Calvin, did you want to say something about this?
Well, I wanted to jump in with thoughts about George Pickens. That would not be a trade I would be particularly excited about. He's definitely a really good player. He's athletic and makes acrobatic catches. But you're right. It's not off the field problems. If anything, it's more on the field problems. He likes to get in fights. Yeah. He complains if he doesn't get the ball. He's just, I don't know. I can't imagine he's a productive team member in a lot of situations.
I agree with that. I think for 1 year I'd be okay with it if they didn't re-up him. But Calvin is right. Like, it manifests on the field as carelessness, and he's the kind of guy who gets flagged a lot. He had last year the worst. So, you know, when you throw a pass to a receiver and they're near the sidelines to kind of tap their toes to get in bounds at the last second. I think George Pickens holds the record for being the furthest away from the sideline and still failing to get his feet inbound.
Oh, man.
That guy can jump like 4 yards away from the sideline, and just he'll just like carelessly get carried out of bounds when any other receiver would get in. It's just, he's a weird player, and he is talented and productive, but man, I'm with Calvin on that. I wouldn't really be cheering that trade on, but I kind of get it.
Well, you've kind of clarified now, because I wasn't sure if he was good weird or bad weird, and he sounds kind of bad weird, so...
He's bad weird. Yeah, he's for sure bad weird. Bad he would have gone a lot higher in his draft if he wasn't bad weird, too. He would have been first rounder easily.
let's move on to the Bucks. Yeah.
Why? Why are we doing that? We can still talk about the draft.
It's not going so well.
It's really not. And there's a lot of blame to go around for the Bucks so far. None of it's on Giannis. On lots of other people. But I do think the Bucks get themselves in some trouble with not pursuing their coaching transitions properly. Doc is okay in a few areas, but he is not good with his rotations. It's been really bad in the playoffs. If you just look at the Bucks, like net ratings and plus minuses and advanced stats, their bench is really good. Their bench is always a plus. It dominates the other team's bench. Their starters are really bad, and he doesn't mix it up enough. Like, you could actually, I think, have a positive lineup on the floor, especially against the Pacers, kind of all the time. Like, you shouldn't have Brook Lopez out there like ever. He's not good against fast teams. He's not playing a ton, but he's playing too much. And man, revisiting the Kyle Kuzma, Chris Middleton trade now, you know, we weren't exactly positive on it at the time, but I think Kuzma may have had the worst playoff game of all time in Game 1 without hyperbole. He played 21 minutes and he didn't register a statistic. No points, no steals, no rebounds. I don't even know how that's possible. He even had 2 free throws, and he missed both of them. That's not Doc's fault. That's John Horst's fault. By the way, John Horst just extended for, I think, 3 additional years. The general manager of the Bucks just came to him. I don't – not a crazy huge fan of that, but that's what happened. The Bucks need to change their rotations drastically if they're going to have any chance in the rest of the series. Indiana's a really bad matchup for them. They turn the ball over less than any other team in basketball. The Bucks really are, they benefit when the other team is a little sloppy because they're a little sloppy, and they can win when it's even Stevens on that front. But it's just not looking good at this point.
I saw a meme showing, like, you know, when you find out Doc Rivers isn't going to change the starting five, that he's just being, it seems stubborn in keeping the same five people starting. But the question I have for you, Paul, is let's say in this version of our story, the Bucks lose the first round and are out. What is the immediate fallout for the team? Do you see it's a changing in coaching again? Is it Giannis starting to eye another city? What is the immediate fallout from 2 years in a row being knocked out in the first round?
Well, it won't be a change in GM because that just happened.
No, that's
But I do think Doc is probably immediately done. I think they probably fire him and do a proper coaching search to try and get at least that side of the ball fixed. And then roster-wise, they are just so tapped out at this point in terms of flexibility on what they can do that it's a hard problem to fix. They're aging. Like, you know, Brooke Lopez was once a very important part of a championship team, and he can still do a couple of things, but against younger, faster teams, he's just a giant liability. And there's not much you can do there. They can go small in some ways too. But they need to make, I think, some hard decisions about how they're going to go forward with supporting Giannis, because money-wise, cap-wise, and pick-wise, they don't have a lot of flexibility. And at some point, like, I would never trade the guy, like, ever, if I could ever help it. But they may need to go, like, for a somewhat of a tank season at some point. It just might need, they might not have a choice. It might just sneak up on them. But time comes for all teams.
Calvin.
Yeah, I unfortunately feel like it's heading towards a blow it up in the off season situation. But as a Bucks fan who really wasn't a Bucks fan until they got good because they were historically so bad, I'm very nervous about going into a down period. I will say, I don't know if we'll win this series, but I think game three, Giannis, I think he's going to, we're going to have an all-time Giannis performance in game three in this series.
And that's fine, but is he enough to take the game?
The game, yes. The series, I'm not sure.
All right. I trust Calvin predictions.
Why not?
Yeah.
I think there's a really good chance of that too. Giannis is definitely capable of doing that a couple times a series. It's just, you know, eventually you can't do it every game. If you could do it every single game, I mean, he would, but you run out of adrenaline and you run out of gas at some point. And even Giannis cannot do it for, you know, an entire series.
Paul, we only got about a minute and a half left. Let's talk about your trivia that's happening tomorrow from 1 to 4 when you're in Green Bay.
Yeah, if you are up at the draft in the area on Friday, my Acme Packing Company cohorts and I will be doing a draft trivia and recording a live show at the Green Bay Distillery from 1 to 4 o'clock. Feel free to stop by and say hi. My cohort, Tex Western, the managing editor, will be there. I think JR might stop by for a minute or two if you want to say hi to him. But, it'll be a good time.
Go see Paul tomorrow in Green Bay from 1 to 4 and do a little trivia. Thanks a lot, Paul. Have fun up in Green Bay.
Thank you.
Stay close. We're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Rock the Boat Edition. That's next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent months, Milwaukee health officials have uncovered significant lead hazards in city schools, mostly due to lead-based paint. Several schools have now been closed as the problem has been found to be more widespread. In late March, city officials formally requested help from the CDC, but in doing so,
they learned that the CDC's entire lead program had been eliminated by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is a major problem. Children in the state's largest city are being exposed to lead poisoning at their schools, and the Trump administration is not only refusing to provide assistance, they are eliminating the entire lead program that would help in cases like this one. Now, state and local officials must step up to do something for these kids, since Trump and RFK Jr. are gutting federal support. Milwaukee's children deserve better.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight.
Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're saying, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross, calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, if you need a little extra incentive to check us out on the live stream. Shiju said, right before Paul Noonan joined us, I needed Greg's interpretive dance for my smile today. You never know when that's going to happen.
Oh, you
interpretive dances.
And I wish it was a two-way mirror. I wish I could see the interpretive dances of our viewing public.
Absolutely.
Just getting in the moment.
Right. Chair dancing, all kinds of things happen.
Goodness.
On the live stream. Calvin killed a spider last half hour. We could see it coming down from the ceiling.
He should have freed that spider, folks. Calvin Butenov hates spiders.
Coming up on the show tomorrow, it's Friday. That means Dan Schaefer will be here, the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area and also Civic Media's political editor. He will be joining us for hour number two, as he always does. Lots of things to break down going on in Wisconsin, so join us tomorrow with Dan Schaefer. Right now, it is 11:54. That means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, janesays@civicmedia.us. Today, this from Claire Reed, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Headline reads, Milwaukee's abandoned boat could be gone by the end of today thanks to an anonymous donor. Deep thought. The abandoned boat that has been stuck near Bradford Beach for more than 6 months is finally on its way out of the water. Jerry Geyer, owner of a local salvage company, estimated the boat's removal is about $25,000 because it's close to shore. It's full of sand. It's a mess. This couple from down south.
This is such a confusing story.
It seriously is. This couple from down south had planned to spend, they bought the boat in Manitowoc.
Yes.
They were going to spend 2 nights in Milwaukee before they headed on, and they missed a turn and somehow beached this boat and then abandoned it.
Okay, Jane, I feel like I'm really, really stupid. I don't know how you screw this up. Like, I feel like there's enough technology out there that shows your boat how to get to somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, start in Milwaukee, you want to get back home down south. Like anything, like any motorized vehicle, you just go back around.
Well, they ran out of gas.
Oh, so they suck at boating.
They certainly suck at planning.
Yeah.
Yes, Richard and Sherry Wells of Mississippi ran out of gas. They bought the boat in Manitowoc. We're going to stay at the McKinley Marina for 2 nights before going home. Richard said bad directions caused him to miss the entrance to the marina, and that led to the boat getting stuck. Again, it's been there for more than 6 months. And now we find out from Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson that an anonymous donor has come forward to pay that $25,000 to get the boat out of there. Why are these people not being held accountable for their own boat?
If there's anybody listening or watching right now who knows more about this story or knows about at least this world, whatever, if you could explain to us why. Fine, someone will foot the bill, but then send the bill down south to them at their doorstep and says, this is yours now. It will go to collections if you don't pay. I don't understand why they're getting off scot-free.
I don't either. So we're going to try and do some follow-up on this and find out how that works. Again, I always thought it was kind of personal responsibility, you know?
You think.
You beach your own boat. You're kind of responsible for unbeaching said boat.
I can't just park my car in a park and be like, well, this car belongs to the park now. Goodbye, everybody.
But the days are over of the abandoned boat Deep Thought. It's covered with graffiti now, and it's been vandalized, and it's a hazard.
It's becoming a landmark for Milwaukeeans where I'm like, this is not something we should be proud of.
Well, exactly. And now Journal Sentinel's Jessica Van Eggeren has a column. Who do you think helped pay to remove the boat from Lake Michigan? So the top contenders right now for who might have come up with that $25,000. Former Milwaukee County Executive Chris Abley, he's got the money.
That'd be easy.
Milwaukee Bucks Giannis Antetokounmpo, attorney David Gruber, Bucks player Bobby Portis, and U.S. Secretary of Transportation in Wisconsin native Sean Duffy.
Well, it's a boat. It's transportation. he's trying to divert the all the planes crashing into each other and falling out of the sky. He's trying to divert attention. If I had the money, Jane, I'm not kidding you. If I had the money, I would pay to have it dismantled and reassembled in my yard. But like as like a shrine or like something fanciful.
Like a playhouse?
Adult playhouse?
Oh, man. And Jeff, you're right. Jeff on the live stream says, I read that they ran out of gas. They did run out of gas. But still, that's kind of bad planning.
This is Deep Thought. We're running out of gas. Is there a service that can help us here? Anyone out there? AAA for the water?
At least it's going to be gone. And thank you to whoever stepped up.
Yeah.
Really.
Was it Jane Matinere?
Oh, yeah. It was me. It's 11. That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we said, tomorrow, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means everything. I hope you find some joy today. Get outside. It's really nice. Yes. And you have the chance to share it. Keep it up. News is coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Trump administration is asking the Supreme Court to allow enforcement of a ban on transgender people in the military while legal challenges proceed. A federal appeals court recently kept in place a court order blocking the policy nationwide. 50,000 mourners have so far filed past the casket of Pope Francis, and approximately 50 heads of state are expected at the Pope's funeral this weekend. There's a man in custody now in connection with a wildfire that's been burning in southern New Jersey all week.
Officials say they have now made an arrest in the origins of the Jones Road fire, which they now say has charred 15,000 acres. According to officials, law enforcement arrested a 19-year-old man who they say Tuesday morning set a bonfire, lit some wood pallets on fire, and then left the area while failing to extinguish them. And they say the remnants of that bonfire is what then spread.
Sales of previously owned homes slumped in March. This is ABC News.